Clock got an email from, I'm not sure how the name would be pronounced, spelled J-A-I-S, J-S, perhaps, who knows. Hi, Kalula BA has a crazy new cancellation policy. If you miss your first flight, they'll cancel your whole flight, return flight two. So if one has to miss their first flight due to traffic of whatever reason and booked another flight, don't expect your return flight to be valid. Kalula expects the traveler to call into the call center and inform the call center of the new flight so they can reinstate your return ticket at a cost, obviously. Ground counter staff will not tell you this and react very defensively when taken to task. It gets even crazier. If one flight is on Kalula and your return flight is on BA, then there is no way to reinstate your BA flight. If both flights are on BA, you lose both. If both flights are on Kalula, you'll be expected to pay a 399 Rand change fee, plus the difference in the amount of your previous ticket and new ticket. It's crazy and borders on the lines of illegal. It's scandalous to the extreme. By simply missing your initial flight, Kalula takes it upon themselves to cancel your return ticket too. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, it's not just Kalula, and it's not just South African Airlines. This is, and whether it's defensible or explainable and rational, that's a different discussion. But it's not just Kalula. And the email was also addressed to Wendy Nola, who I'm delighted is still with us in Cape Town. I think she enjoys the dry heat more than the humidity.
I've got news for you. I've actually moved here, John.
Have you?
Yes.
How cool is that?
Well, it's very cool and very windy.
Have you? Well done. Welcome. Yeah.
That's why you're seeing more of me around in the office.
Ah, well, that's a very, very pleasing development. It's not just Kalula, is it?
No, Wendy? It's definitely not just Kalula. It is a worldwide practice. Not all airlines do it. Some do, and it's allowed for in the International Air Transport Authority's published guidelines relating to what they call flat coupon sequence. British Airways does it worldwide. Virgin Atlantic does it. They did it to me on an international flight about 5 years ago, which was an almost disaster. And no fault of my own. It wasn't a no-show. They got me to London too late to get my connection to Canada. They organized it a day later, but they forgot to mark me as a – they forgot to say it wasn't a no-show. Anyway, long story. It was an awful drama. And I understand our listeners' outrage because, you know, you've booked and paid for a ticket and what gives them the right to cancel and certainly not unilaterally without any attempt to contact you at all. There is a groundswell, though, internationally against this by consumer movement. So in December, the UK Consumer Group, which warned airlines that they could be breaking the law with what they called the no-show clauses, because after a return flight is cancelled, airlines are able to resell the ticket. So essentially, they're getting double payment for that ticket, and that's an absolute cheek. Other consumer groups also spoken out about it. And I can't personally see how it complies with the CPA. You've bought it. What gives them the right to decide to take it away from you? FlySafair calls it an archaic rule that a number of airlines have in place. They say, interestingly, in London, in a court in London recently, I think it was 2017, ruled against Iberia, forcing them to refund a return leg that was refused to a customer exiting Gatwick. It only applies in that London court, but you can see there's now starting to be a groundswell against it.
What is the aircraft or the airline's rationale for this? What makes them think that it is a defensible policy?
Well, I spoke to Kalula and they said, it's that person's denying another person getting the seat. But, I mean, the seat has been paid for.
How are they doing that?
Well, exactly. They're saying, because if you let us know that you weren't going to take that seat, we could then make it available. But it's already been paid for. Then what they say is, well, if you're running late for a flight and you inform us, then we will allow you to not lose the value on that flight. So it works both ways. But insiders will tell you that the policy was developed based on the fact that some carriers used to offer return fares that were cheaper than a combination of two one-ways. So the people would do it intentionally not to get the return flight and manipulate that system. So, I mean, as the FlySafair guy said to me, I don't quite understand the logic in that one, and I can see by your face you're not entirely understanding it either. But anyway, Mango doesn't do it. FlySafair doesn't do it. SAA didn't get back to me.
If I have booked a return flight on Mango from Cape Town to Johannesburg and I'm caught up in a meeting, I fall asleep, whatever the case may be, and I miss my Cape Town to Johannesburg leg, I can get up the next morning however I want and still and get still my get, original...
And still get the original flight, okay. Yeah. 5 years ago, it's about the communication thing. I think it's to do it, it's a dodgy policy in the first place. To do it without any information is for the person to arrive at the airport and discover then, which happens often, that they don't have their return flight is the real unjustifiable part for me. So 5 years ago, I took on a very similar case, also involving Kalula, and I asked the airline, why don't you communicate with your customers that when they cancel a flight, or even if they don't show, you have their details. They have their details to tell us about flight delays. Why don't you – the system should be programmed to then send a thing saying you have to reconfirm, otherwise you'll lose it or whatever. And they said at the time that they would look at improving it and blah, blah, blah. And so I went back to the – the quote was, we'll look at other ideas around disclosure. So I went back to them this week with this latest complaint, and I asked them if anything had changed on that score, and the answer was we're constantly working to improve communications with our customers and pride ourselves on innovation across our operations. I think the short answer is no, they haven't changed that. And basically they said many airlines across the industry adopt this policy as customers regularly make bookings for flights and then fail to arrive, preventing other customers from traveling on that day, is what I just said.
But the fact that I'm preventing a customer from traveling in the seat that I have booked from Cape Town to Johannesburg, why do they automatically assume that I'm not going to want to travel from Johannesburg to Cape Town? I mean, that's...
Many people don't, so they make that assumption. I'm as foxed by this as you are, John, and I don't think it is defensible. Like, every industry has its blind spots, and this is one of the airlines' one. It's just like, well, this is the way it's done, so we're going to do it, and the International Airline Authority allows us to do it. So I think that the outtake for consumers is to find out.
Is it in the T's and C's? I mean,
in their T's and C's.
If you had the time,
which nobody reads.
Nobody reads. It is there miss the first leg of a double flight, you will be automatically scrapped from the booking.
Unless you reconfirm. Yeah. They will assume that you're not taking that return flight unless you tell them that you absolutely are. Kalula did say, we try and be as flexible and as lenient as reinstating bookings as we can, and that... as long as we're notified in good time, the passenger will retain the value of the onward segments depending on the type of fare initially purchased. But here's the thing, as our listener said, passengers may incur a rebooking fee plus the difference in price between the new and old ticket, which is not going to sit well with anybody.
No. I mean, Janet says to me, for domestic flights, book outbound and return tickets separately. That way you will not lose your return ticket if you miss your initial outbound flight. And then several other people, Kalula flights, always book one way on domestic flights. They're not affected by this practice. And I suppose that is when one knows that Kalula and BA have this policy in place, then that does make sense. And it goes to that whole thing about information.
Knowledge is power. Yes, absolutely.
Why are airlines a law unto themselves?
They pretty much are.
They make their own rules and we have no rights to challenge them.
Well, it's a bit like the cell phone industry in many respects as well. And when you've got, you don't have much in the way of protection in terms of the authorities challenging them, it carries on. Because when the CPA first came out and I was examining it, it occurred to me that many policies in those two industries in particular weren't compliant, and you start writing stories and investigating, and it's just like, it is what it is, and it's remained that way. And so we have to inform ourselves so we don't get caught.
But at least now you know, because I've had this conversation with Wendy and because she's done the research, that this policy is not applied by Mango and it's not applied by SAF Air. And
I'm not SAA, they didn't come back to me.
Yeah.
But
so it appears that we can definitively say that Kalula and BA do it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that Mango and SAF Air don't, and we're not sure about SAA.
Yeah.
Wendy, thank you very, very much for that.
You're
now,
welcome.
Lovely to know that you are now a Capetonian. We'll try and change your Durban accent.
I've still got my number plate too.
Next couple of months.